Okay, here we are live from Sacramento. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. His divine grace abaya chatanara bhaktivedanta Goswami Mahashila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON founder acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananda Goti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Friends say Gohoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadata Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindikajai Shishi Radhakrishna Gopagavata Sayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Navadeepdam Kijai Jagadatha Same Kijai Yumunamai Gajai. Shimati Glasi Devi Gajai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Gajai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Om. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So what happened to the ninth canto that we were reading from?
Oh, we didn't bring that, Maharaj.
What?
Ninth canto, I mean.
Yeah, we were just reading from that the other day. I just wondering why we had the first canto.
We're jumping.
Like monkeys from one canto to another. So we read it for the ninth canto. About the story of Maharaj Nimi, you remember?
Yes,
ma'am. Okay. So next text is the ninth canto, chapter 13, text 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So I guess I will just read the Sanskrit, since you don't have it written down on a board. So text 11. Devo chuvideha usyatam kamam lochaneshu sharirinam unmeshana nimeshabhyam lakshito jyatma sangsitaha. Devo chuvideha usyatam kamam lochaneshu sharirinam Unmeshanani meshabhyam lakshito jatma sangsitaha nivuchu videha utsyatam kamam lochaneshu shadhiranam Unmeshanani meshabhyam lakshito jatma sangsitaha. So you can repeat. Deva Uchuhu. The demigod said. Videha.
Without any material body.
Ushatam. You live. Kamam.
As you like.
Lochaneshu.
In the vision.
Sharirinam.
Of
those who have material bodies. Unmeshana nimeshabhyam. Become manifest and unmanifest. As you desire.
Lakshitaha.
Being seen.
Adhyatma
sangstitaha. Situated in a spiritual body. So, translation, the demigod said, let Maharaj Nimi live without a material body. Let him live in a spiritual body as a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And according to his desire, let him be manifest or unmanifest to common materially embodied people. So, purport by His Divine Grace, say, see, Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. The demigods wanted Maharaj Nimi to come to life, but Maharaj Nimi did not want to accept another material body. Under the circumstances, the demigods, having been requested by the saintly persons, gave him the benediction that he would be able to stay in a spiritual body. There are two kinds of spiritual bodies, as generally understood by common men. The term spiritual body is sometimes taken to refer to a ghostly body. An impious man who dies after sinful activities is sometimes condemned so that he cannot possess a gross material body of five material elements, but must live in a subtle body of mind, intelligence, and ego. However, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, devotees can give up the material body and attain a spiritual body free from all material tinges, gross and subtle, chotwa deham puna janma naiti mameti sorjana. Thus the demigods gave King Nimi the benediction that he would be able to stay in a purely spiritual body, free from all gross and subtle material contamination. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can be seen or unseen according to his own transcendental desire. Similarly, a devotee being Jivan Mukta can be seen or not as he chooses. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasya Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavritaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is not manifest to everyone and anyone. To the common man, he is unseen. Takshi Krishna Namadi Navavet Grayom Indriyai. Krishna and his name, fame, qualities, and paraphernalia cannot be materially understood. Unless one is advanced in spiritual life, Sevan Ukehi Jivado, one cannot see Krishna. Therefore, the ability to see Krishna depends on Krishna's mercy. The same privilege of being seen or unseen according to one's own desire was given to Maharaj Nimi. Thus he lived in his original spiritual body as an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Deva Uchuhu Videhau Syatam Gaman Lochaneshu Satirinam Unmeshanani Meshabhyam Lakshato Jyatma Songs Titaha. So Om Gana Timananda Shad Gananjana Shilakaya Jakshuru Meditam Minatas Mai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, of course, this is the continuation of the same story where Maharaj Nimi did not want another body. He was cursed by who? Do you remember the story? Vasishtha Muni. Because he had done Ganon Sankirtan without Vasishtha Muni's permission. Vasishtha Muni was a spiritual master, and he also cursed Vasishtha Muni to die. So both of them died. So that's a good guru dakshin, you die guru day. And good instruction from the guru, you die disciple. So this is not exactly a spiritual relationship.
They both curse each other.
Yeah, they both curse each other, and they both died. And I described previously that the Krishna Muni appeared again from the ascendant of Mitra and Varuna. And then you have Maharaj Nimi, whose body is lying in this oil, being preserved during the sacrifice, and then the demigods are ready to bring him back to life. And he says, I don't want to come back to life because why should I stay in this material world? Dukalayama Shashvatam. And another verse from the Bhagavad Gita is Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Panavaratina Arjuna. Mamu Pecha Dukantia Punarja. I think everybody can hear, you know. I don't think we need a speaker so much. Punarjanma Navijate. That from the highest planet to the lowest planet, all are places of misery. So he didn't want to come back. However, devotees have to be very careful when they preach about this to people who are not Krishna conscious. Because if we simply go around telling everybody everything is miserable, what will happen? Nobody wants to join our Hare Krishna movement. Because we will spoil everything for them. Just like before or when I joined the Krishna conscious movement, my brother came to see me. My brother is a very nice materialist. He does the opposite thing to what I do. What I do, I travel around as a sannyasi, and you know, I go to people's houses, they bathe my feet. So he goes to people's houses and he bathes their feet. He's a podiatrist. You know, doctor? Pada. Pada means feet. Same thing in Sanskrit. Podiatrist. One who doesn't study feet, but one who works on people's feet. So he has the opposite occupation than I do. So anyway, so I said to him when I joined the movement, I'd like to tell you about Krishna consciousness. And he said, don't spoil it for me. Don't spoil my enjoyment in the material world. Ignorance is bliss. This is his statement to me. And it's true. Because if you don't have Krishna consciousness, you can enjoy the material world a lot better from a material standpoint than you can if you have Krishna consciousness. Of course, a pure devotee can really enjoy the material world because he's serving Krishna. If you're a devotee, as this verse goes that we quoted last night, Narayana Paratsare Nakutasjana Vidyati Swarga Abharga Swabhavarga Narakeshu Apituyartha Darshana. A pure devotee can go to heaven, a pure devotee can go to hell, a pure devotee can go back to God. It doesn't matter. What do you think that is, Adiguru? Why would a pure devotee want to go to hell? To preach. Because there's a lot of good preaching there. Because you don't have to convince people that the material world is miserable when you're in hell. They already know it. You know, the Yamarajas, they were the Yamadutas, and they're torturing everybody. And they say, oh, this is miserable. And you say, okay, Chan, Hare Krishna. Very easy preaching there. However, in America, India, and in the world today, it's hard to convince people this is hell. Because people are bewildered, especially by all these modern conveniences, like you have your mobile phones, and there's this whole propaganda that everything is beautiful in this world. Actually, there's even a song. One time we went to Walt Disney World. You ever been to Walt Disney World? Or you're innocent, young man. And we went to Walt Disney World, and there's a whole song, these little dolls are dancing. It's a beautiful world, isn't it? It's a beautiful world, isn't it? You remember that?
It's a small world.
It's a small world. All the dolls are dancing, and the different races are dancing, and everything like that. So, that... So people are thinking like that, and then I remember many years ago when I went to the World's Fair in New York, this was 1960-something, and then it's a bright new future for us, you know, they're presenting technology. I went to the GE Pavilion, General Electric. And they showed a bright future where there was fusion energy and it was actually powering the whole world.
Wow,
and
everybody.
That was the 1960s. They're talking about cold fusion. Anyway, so, and there's this propaganda. So people have these unrealistic expectations about all sorts of things. Just like we were talking before class, like, people get married and they just think, oh, everything is going to be easy. And then it gets hard, babies, bills, and business, as we mentioned before. Of course, one has to do his duty in this world. But at the same time, we have these expectations about life. And then we serve our whole lives, and then what do we get at the end? We don't even think about it. We get old age as a payment for all the hard work we've done. Can you imagine? Like, Anirudha is not thinking about that. Anirudha is thinking, you know what, I'm young, just like Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto. His schoolmates were telling him, we're too young, Prahlad, to chant Hare Krishna. And then Prahlad said, you'll always have an excuse. Now you're saying you're young. Later on you'll say you're teenagers, and you have an excuse. Later on you're saying, you just got married. That's another excuse. Later on, I mean, and then half your life is wasted, what, sleeping? And then later on, you'll say, basically, I have to work hard. Don't have time. Later on, you'll say, I'm too old. Because Prabhupada said, I was with Prabhupada one time, and a reporter asked Prabhupada, why so many young people here? And Prabhupada said, because it's you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. So then you'll say, I'm too old, I have to retire, play golf, and everything like that. Don't have time for Krishna consciousness. So you'll always have an excuse, Anirudha, throughout your whole life. And Prahlad Maharaj, of course, he said, Komaram Matsulat Pradyo, Dharmam Bhagavatam Niha, Durlabha Manasa Janma, Tadabdhru Marthadam. That you should take up Krishna consciousness from your very birth, well, when you're very young, komara, like a little child. Acharet. Acharet in Sanskrit is the imperative form. Imperative means you must do. So you must do that. So, so therefore we always have excuses, and of course in the Western world there's this whole, and India too, there's this whole everywhere, this whole expectation by material advancement, everything will become nice. You'll be able to live forever. We're going to be able to transplant your heart, transplant your head, transplant your eyes, transplant whatever. Your teeth, you know. Actually, Prahlad Maharaj says the solutions that we have for these things create more problems. In other words, the solution is worse than the problem to begin with. Just like that story, and I might have told that story about before, about the Brahmin and his underwear. Remember that story? Remember that story or no? That the Brahmin, there was this Brahmin, he was very poor, and all he had was underwear. And so he would hang his underwear out every day to dry, but then rats kept eating it. You know, the holes in it. So like that, and he was thinking, I have to have a solution. Let's employ certain technology. So he thought, to get rid of the rats, I have to get a what?
Cat.
And so then he had a cat, and then but the cat wanted to do something else other than eat rats. The cat wanted to have milk, so he had to get a cow. And the cow had to be milked. It's not just that you have a cow, you put him in the corner, and you take a milk bottle and you say, okay, where's the milk, my dear Bhumi? And so the cow had to be milked every day. That's a lot, and fed. And he thought, well, in order to do that, I need a wife to do that. All right, so he got a wife, and then the wife, she wanted new saris, earrings, nose rings, you know, a trip to Fiji, everything. And then he had to get a job. So the poor Brahmin, he was making a solution to one little problem, then he had a big problem. And that Prahlad Maharaj states that. Yeah, that's not Prahlad Maharaj's story, but Prahlad Maharaj states that you solve a little problem, it becomes a big problem. I mean, just like with all this technology. Yeah, I mean, we're using it in Krishna's service. We're broadcasting to so many people around the world, people in Australia, people in North Carolina, people, you know, in Dallas, Texas, watching. But it creates so many problems with pollution, like electricity, you know, pollution and diseases. And then people, you think, all this technology, I don't have to work so hard anymore. So you're sitting down all day long, not working, getting sick. There's other diseases, you get like carpal tunnel syndrome, right? Where you're using the hands all the time and then you have to go for an operation. You're not getting exercise, you're not getting sunshine, and you're just becoming fat and lazy. And so the solution creates more problems. All this technology has created more problems. And now, of course, you have atomic bombs, which are even more problematic. And then you have all the terrorists who one day may get atomic bombs or atomic, you know, dirty atomic energy, a dirty radioactive material, and just spread it all over. And, you know, there's so many problems that occur the more we get technologically advanced. It's not that we have less problems now, because we were, people were happier before. In fact, in many countries where they have no technology or living very simply, they're very happy. Because they have enough to eat, they're with their family. Because happiness, even in the material world, comes from having people you love and your family around you. But nowadays, because people have to travel, go to work, they don't have their family. It's just a nuclear family, not the extended family. You know, the real happiness in the material world means having your mother, your father, your grandparents, and everybody around you in a real, very loving environment. So anyway, so unfortunately, in the modern world, we have these unrealistic expectations. And because of that, it makes preaching very difficult. So we should not go out to people and tell people, basically, it's all miserable. Because they'll say, you people are depressed. You're very unhappy people. Everything you say, every class you give, you talk about the body being a bag of stool, mucus, and urine. Isn't it? You hear these classes a lot. And all relationships are Maya. You know, you people are just Maya bodies. So, you know, devotees, immature devotees tend to preach like that. I remember when I first went to a Hare Krishna temple in 1969, that's how they preached to me.
They said, you better become a devotee because Kali Yuga is coming fast. You're going to be living underground, selling human flesh. You're going to be short your whole life, you know, this short. Yeah, there's not going to be any vegetables or anything. So join the Hare Krishna movement and chant Hare Krishna. So I said, goodbye. I ran away. I actually ran away from the devotees the first time I came in contact with. There were other things that happened in the temple, too, like they didn't have toilet paper in the toilet. You know, they were quite shocking, or they told me to stand on the toilet. And they didn't have any heat in the shower. You know, it was cold in the middle of the winter in Boston, Massachusetts. You know, hey, so there were a lot of things that were actually really created a post-traumatic environment, a traumatic environment for me. So, of course, fortunately, later on I met Prabhupada, and I thought, well, I got to be like him, and you know, and even if the devotees preach very heavy, I'll just ignore it and serve Prabhupada. So when we preach to people, we should be presenting positive things. Chant Hare Krishna, be happy. We got a lot of positive things. Prasadam, you know, follow a healthy lifestyle. God is the most attractive. I mean, only got all these positive things, don't we? Krishna is Bhagavan. You know, he's the most beautiful, most intelligent, most renowned, most famous, most strong, right? You know about that, Aniruddha? No one's stronger than Krishna. Because everyone's, I mean, for example, nowadays it's very popular. People are paying attention to what's called these superheroes. You ever heard of a superhero? Yeah. What's a superhero?
Like Superman.
Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Red Lantern, Speedo. We know, I don't know all the names of these people because that's not one of my...
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. So they have all these people with powers, and they look up to them. Even when I was young, I was actually looking up to Superman. So I actually put a cape on my back and tried to fly, but I ended up flat on my face. I jumped from a chair, and I thought I was going to fly. Go boom! So it didn't work. So, but we have the best superhero. I mean, Krishna can do anything. He can lift planets, as Sesha, you know, lift all the planets and on the hoods, and he doesn't even feel it. Krishna fights these demons. He has all these magical weapons, the Sudarshan Chakra, right? Like with Shishupal. Shishupal was blaspheming Krishna. It's an interesting story. He had his benediction. He could blaspheme Krishna 100 times. Did you know that? Why did he have the benediction?
Because when Shishupal was born, he had two extra arms and two extra eyes.
No, one extra eye.
One extra eye. So the demigod said that whenever whoever takes this child into his lap and then the extra arms and eye disappears, that person will kill him. So when Krishna came, that eye and hands disappeared. So the mother knew that Krishna was going to kill Shishupal. Mm-hmm. So she said that excuse 100 offenses from Shishupal.
Yeah. Wow. He's intelligent. So then at the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira, Shishupal kept offending Krishna. And Krishna was counting, you know, 99, 98, 97, 96, 95, all the way down, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off. You know. Killed him with a Sudarshan Chakra did. And Krishna's the most humorous person. He's the most romantic person. I mean, just think like that. Everyone likes, like, all you like to watch Bollywood films, right? Mm-hmm. Right, Aniruddha? You don't like Bollywood films? That's good. I have. So in Bollywood films, what you generally have is like a boy and a girl, and they're riding on a motorcycle singing some songs. Nobody ever sings songs on a motorcycle. I've never seen it happen. But anyway, they do that in the Bollywood films. And then they come to some place, and then there's a big dance where like thousands of girls surround them in a circle, and loving couples. Everyone seen that?
I have heard about it.
Yeah, that's a Bollywood film. But that's a reflection of what? Krishna's rasa dance. right? Krishna's rasa dance, because what happens? You have all the gopis and Krishna dancing in a circle. It's a rasa dance. So, the point I'm making is we can present Krishna consciousness in such a positive way. We have the greatest hero, the strongest person, right? The best weapons he has. So nice. And that's how we should present Krishna consciousness in general. We don't have to emphasize that, oh, the material world is so miserable. It is miserable. I mean, let people experience that for themselves. But it's not really the way to attract people to Krishna consciousness. Just like, for example, if a devotee or someone you know is in the hospital and they're suffering, you don't tell them, that's your karma, Prabhu. Yeah, can you imagine how heartless, how lacking empathy or compassion or sympathy that is? You know, someone is, oh, I'm in so much pain. You're not the body. That's your karma. Krishna's purifying you. That's not really attracting you. I remember when I joined the movement, this process that, or the statement that Krishna is purifying you was used all the time. Like, you know, if you get sick, because in the beginning they had too many chili peppers in their food. And everybody would get sick and end up with diarrhea. So this is the purification you get when you first join the Hare Krishna movement. Every time you get sick, it's purification. Or the temple president yells at you and chastises you, I'm purifying you. It's like, I remember that. It happened all the time. So we're not going to attract a lot of people to our movement if we're actually dealing with people like that. We have to... We understand the material world is miserable, yeah. Let the people experience that. Mm-hmm. People ask about it, and then you just... And also they read the Bhagavad Gita, and we can tell them a little bit. But not, that should not be our main preaching. The material world is miserable. Your main preaching is love Krishna. Hear about his pastimes. Hear about the devotees, about like Prabhupada's pastimes. You know, everything Prabhupada did. Prabhupada's another hero. Because Prabhupada sacrificed everything. Everything to come, to his life in Vrindavan, to come to America. That's a hero. I mean, that's like, so we have all these role models, heroes that we can look up to in Krishna consciousness. So that's how we should present Krishna consciousness to others, to attract people. Whether we're doing Krishna West or Krishna East or whatever, Krishna in between, or Krishna up or Krishna down or right or left, it doesn't matter. I mean, you just have to present the positive aspects of Krishna consciousness. And that's how Prabhupada presented things. And he would, of course, he gave class in Gita, but generally he would say, chant Hare Krishna and stay high forever. Mm-hmm. And he was even using a hippie expression. You know, hippie expression means stay high forever when you're taking drugs. But Prabhupada used that expression, you know, stay high forever. So people said, oh, I got to stay high forever. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Wow. Wow, I'm getting high. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So we should always be seen as positive, loving, compassionate people. And in this way, we can spread Krishna consciousness. And naturally, because of Rasa Varjam, Rasa Prisha, Param Drishta, Nivartante, as Krishna describes in the Gita, by having a higher taste, we'll automatically give up desires for things in this world. But if you try to give up something without having a higher taste, it doesn't work. That's what Krishna says in the Gita. The taste still remains. For example, I've seen, you know, like some of your parents dealing with your children. When you tell them not to do something, it just encourages them to do it more. You know, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you say, don't do that, Aniruddha, you know. Be quiet, Aniruddha. And then he's louder.
He's louder.
And you say, yes, so the point is we can't really spread Krishna consciousness with negatives. They have to be spread
positive
things. You know, we have so many nice, positive things. So why dwell on the negatives? And even with children, why dwell on negatives? Instead of saying, be quiet, honey, Ruta, you say, you give them something positive to do. Hey, would you like to take care of your own teeth? You know, something like that. Would you like to do this? You know, that's a technique you learn when the teachers learn when they go to the university and learn how to teach. That you substitute behavior. You don't say, don't do that. Because don't do doesn't, you can't do it not a negative. Isn't it? Don't talk. What do you think? When someone says, don't talk to you, what do you think, honey, Ruta?
Don't talk louder.
He takes it as a challenge, right?
Like, I see, like, an education in foreign countries.
Yeah.
The teachers hit you and discipline, and the children hear. You know, they talk. Teachers counsel and soft speaking, but they're very disrespectful. And they're, I mean, with the whole psychological process of, you know, being
sensitive. But you have to give them, you have to facilitate them in understanding what's best for them. See, the teachers don't do that. You can't just give up discipline. You have to take up facilitation. Mm-hmm. Like if I say to Aniruddha, or the other day, you know, he was fighting with Manjuni, okay. So I didn't say, stop fighting. I said, what do you know about the law of karma, Aniruddha? What will happen if you pinch someone now? And then Aniruddha said, well, I'll be pinched in the future. And what if you're cruel to little girls like Manjuni? He said, well, I'll become a little girl my next life. I said, do you want to become a little girl? He said, no. So there's ways to, it takes more time. Like the stick is really easy. But the problem with the stick is if they submit, then they never really develop their full potential as human beings. Right. And usually what happens is they become defiant. That happened with Prabhupada. They hit Prabhupada on the hands with a ruler, which they used to do in India. You know what Prabhupada did? He took the kerosene lantern and threw it at the teacher. And set the classroom on fire. And that was, you know, nowadays they call that Molotov cocktail. You've heard about that before? That means what the terrorists do, you know, when they riot, they take a soda bottle and fill it with petrol, and they put a little thing on top to light it, and then they throw it. So Prabhupada was the originator of that. Well, now you know the story. Prabhupada, you know, so it's like that. Or, I mean, with intelligent people, it actually works like that. They get more rebellious when there's over-discipline. Or they lose their many faculties. There's two ways that people can go. I mean, when I was young, even my own life, my mother, when I would do something, my mother would say, I'm going to make it so you can't sit for a week. You know, spanking. And I said, you will never catch me. And so I would lead her on chases around the dining room table. She never caught me. One time she did, but that was it. And I became so rebellious that I joined the Hare Krishna movement. Because my mother said, don't join that movement. You're supposed to become a doctor like your brother. And I'm going to die. If you join that movement, you're going to be the cause of my death. And I told that story before. And I just said, because I'm a devotee, if you die, you'll take a better birth in the next life, a human birth. So I became rebellious. And you see that with intelligent people, generally they become more rebellious with that sort of discipline. Or they become traumatized. I mean, there's different things that happen. I deal with a lot of people who are overly, let's say, beaten and everything when they were young. And when they get older, they get so traumatized that they get angry a lot, and they get angry with others, beat others, and they can't even admit when they make a mistake. I've seen this in many countries. it occurs like that. So, but I'm not saying you just let people do whatever they want. Then it becomes like, you know, animals running around, isn't it? So, like, there's this one book called Lord of the Flies. You read that?
No.
Where the kids just, like, take over and the poor parents are just, like, devastated. So, and all the adults, are, you know, the children take over. Well, rebellion is a sign of intelligence. You should be happy when a child is rebellious. Because that means they're intelligent. If they're not rebellious, and they just give in, yes, 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 whatever you say, Peter G, whatever you say.
Yes,
Ramchandra
was not rebellious like that.
Yeah, but Lord Ramchandra is God. He's different than us. You're not God.
What if you're cultured? And you know that you have to respect your parents.
But the respect should be based upon knowledge and culture. That's right. That's good. But if it's based on fear, that is not good. There's two things. I'm not saying that children should always, like, you know, be defiant to the parents. But they should understand why. See, oftentimes, the discipline is given, why should I do something? Because I said it.
Yeah.
Right? I'm your mother. But what? My mother used to say that to me. Why do I have to listen to you? Because I'm your mother. I said, why? She said, because I'm your mother. And I said, why? What does that mean? And she never explained it to me. And it was just like, I'm your mother. But that doesn't compute. That's not logical. That you listen to someone because they're your mother. You have to explain. There's a culture. Yeah, I mean, it probably takes a few hours to explain the whole thing. But we don't want to take the time. We want to take the easy way out and just say, you know, do it. Or else I'm going to make it so you can't sit for a whole week. And my mother never caught me after that. It was like the perverted reflection of the Lord Damodar's story. But Krishna got caught. I didn't get caught. So... anyways, so when the children, like Prabhupada, I mean, you see, Prabhupada was really rebellious. His mother had to hire someone to take him to school because he wouldn't go to school on his own. I mean, they tell all these stories about Prabhupada's youth. Prabhupada wanted two water pistols. He had one, and they refused to get it. And then he hit his head on the ground. So, you know, he's stubborn. Like that. And of course, but Prabhupada imbibed the spirit of his parents, worshipping the Radha Govinda deities, the pure devotee. But you see, in the case of many, many intelligent people, they're pretty rebellious when they're young. But if we take the time to explain why we have the respect for our elders, it's not just we respect because we have to, but why? And there are good reasons for that. You know, keep society together. You know, we have these needs for love, and it's actually part of loving exchanges. And you can show them the Ramayana, where Lord Ram was respecting Dasarath, even respecting Kaikeyi, his stepmother. Right? So you show this. And people learn these principles. But one of the things is the Prabhupada said, you know, if a child is cheeky or rebellious, it's a sign of intelligence. Why should we want people to accept things? Those who are convinced against their will are of the same opinion still. You ever hear that? So if you say, worship Krishna, why? You know, what's in it for me? You know, who is Krishna? You understand? So there has to be, even with children, you can sit down and talk to them. And explain to them why they should do something. I mean, sometimes they'll end up getting rebellious anyway, like Hiranyakashipu, but I don't think we have any Hiranyakashipu children here. And so Krishna consciousness should be presented in a very positive way. It's not that you have to do this. I remember I have one disciple whose parents forced him to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning when he was 6 years old and do deity worship. And now, he's a nice devotee, a very successful businessman, but he can't get up early anymore because he was so traumatized when he was young. I mean, just like if I ask him to get up before 7 o'clock, it's just like, it's trauma. Because what he was forced to do. So we don't want to traumatize people into Krishna consciousness. And, you know, many of us joined the movement, and it was tough in the beginning. There was a lot of trauma for the new brahmacharis and things like that. They got yelled at by the sannyasis. Prabhupada didn't do that. But there was trauma. A lot of devotees, you know, traumatized maybe by temple presidents and things like that. So, you know, they're not doing too well now in Krishna consciousness. Children were traumatized in the Gurukula. So it's just not, you know, we have to learn how to bring people to Krishna consciousness. It has to be a very positive experience. How to bring our children, how to bring people in general, whether it's Krishna West or Krishna East, to Krishna consciousness. So any other questions or comments?
The lecture in Lakshminarayan, the first day,
yeah.
You were mentioning about the three levels of devotees, Kanishtha, Adhikari,
and... Yeah, Madhyama and Uttama.
Maharaj, can you please also expand on how one should relate like with each, without being envious or without being offensive?
How one should relate to each level?
Because like or even if you know level? That the other person is a devotee... But you don't agree.
Well, Rupa Goswami talks about how that, you know, if someone is just worshiping Krishna in the temple, we offer respects in the mind to such a person. We never hate anybody. We offer respects in the mind. And if someone is Majum or, you know, similar to us, then we offer dandavats and we make friendship with such a person. If someone's Uttama, what do? We serve them. If someone is on a higher level, we do them. So we worship them or serve them. So according to someone's level of Krishna consciousness. But with all Vaishnavas, we respect. However, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said something very interesting about Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle, who were Kanishtha Adhikaris. He said they're like worms in stool. I mentioned that the other day. That's a heavy thing. Not that we should say that, but he was able to say that because they were like his village relatives. So he was able... Because... In the Kanishtha means materialistic. So materialistic devotee, he will worship Krishna in the temple. You know, something like Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari Swami Jaya or Satyanarayan Katha. You all know what Satyanarayan Katha is? You know, they tell stories about how people worship Satyanarayan. They got so many things for it. Christians do the same thing. We're not unique in that. The Christians talk about, you know, how I worship Lord Jesus and now I have a new car and a new wife. So we do the same thing in a different way. You know, I worship Satyanarayan and then now I have a new job. And it's always like that, you know, it's just, oh, and people come to the temple, they want us to, one is interesting thing happened to me. Someone brought his car to the temple and said, I want to give my car to Krishna. And I said, thank you very much. And they said, no, that's not what I want. I want to give to Krishna, but then I'll take it away the next day. They want us to bless the car. You know? I mean, even in ISKCON, people have gotten into car blessings. You know, they do the car. Om Kar. Namaha. Swaha. And then one time I was doing a fire sacrifice, and some people put like these 1 ounce gold coins in the fire, you know, right next to the fire. And I was thinking, boy, this is probably the best donations I've ever gotten. Yeah, 1 ounce gold coins worth a lot of money. So after that, I said, thank you very much for your contribution. They said, no, I was just purifying the gold coins. and they took them back. So that's Kanishtha Adhikari, you understand? Whereas a Madhyama Adhikari distinguishes between a devotee, non-devotee, an envious person, a supreme personality, God, and he serves the devotees, associates with the devotees, preaches to the innocent and avoids the envious, and worships Krishna. An Uttama Adhikari is just absorbed in Krishna, in his internal relationship with Krishna all the time.
So Mother, this envious thing, is it relating to, like when we say avoid the envious?
Avoid the envious, yeah.
Envious means...
Blasphemous. Blasphemers.
Not another devotee who may be envious of somebody.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we have to... In other words, there's that offense on chanting, preach the glories of the Lord to those, you know, who are actually against the Supreme Personality of God. And so, we have to, when we talk to people, we have to be careful of not, as said in the Bible, throwing pearls before swine. I think you understand what that means. Not saying something to someone that will aggravate them. In other words, I'm not going to, or cause them to criticize. If I talk to someone out in the street, I'm not going to talk to them about Radha and Krishna's loving exchanges. I'll talk to them, I'll preach in a manner that's consistent with their level of understanding, ability to understand. I will say, you know, it's good to be, I may just say it's good to be a vegetarian because the animals have souls. Maybe even I won't even mention the word God. Actually, mentioning the word God sometimes is dangerous nowadays. Because then people think, oh, you're just like, you know, some terrorist groups. So you have to be careful. Even the word God, you know, sometimes, so you say, you start at the beginning, you know, vegetarians, you can talk about karma, you can talk about reincarnation. So you have to be careful what you present to people because they may criticize, or they may blaspheme, or they may do anything.
Sometimes devotees don't agree with each other, right?
Sometimes devotees don't, yeah, that's
mostly
right.
Mostly they don't agree. Like that.
Mostly they don't agree?
Many times.
No, Maharaj, I think he means like with the local groups, one group.
Oh, yeah, local groups? Then we just respect. I mean, unity and diversity. Like Prabhupada said, the GBC should meet once a year and talk about unity and diversity. How some, everybody's different. We're persons. We have to understand we're personalists. Personalists means not only God is a person, but you're a person too. And you have a different way of understanding Krishna consciousness, which is alright, as long as it's in tune with Shastra, Guru Shastra and Sadhu. You may want to present Krishna consciousness as Krishna East, I may want to present it as Krishna West. But, you know, we're just different personalities.
So we are not avoiding, means this rule does not apply to devotees who don't agree with each other's way of functioning.
Yeah, yeah. If people don't agree, of course, we don't want to argue with devotees. We should appreciate, oh, they're serving Krishna so nicely. Mm-hmm. You know, they may not be serving Krishna the same way. Just like you go to India, sometimes there's these pujaris who are really into all the different rituals, the mudras and the mantras. And I'm thinking that's very nice. That's how they're approaching Krishna. And, you know, I'm not into all those different things. I'm more or less like, I like the KISS philosophy. Keep it simple, sadhu. You know, you ever heard that KISS philosophy?
Yeah, yeah.
The non-devotees say that something different. They say keep it simple, stupid. But keep it simple, sadhu. So I like that philosophy. What way of presenting things. But there's room for everybody. There's room for everybody. You know, so someone wants to preach like that, that's wonderful. If I want to preach like that, as long as I stick within the Shastra, Guru Shastra, and sadhu, Prabhupada's instructions. And what's the problem?
So we just associate. I mean, there's no restriction on, like somebody likes to do more book distribution, somebody likes to do
that's
more
fine.
Thing. So, but
there's variety. You have the coward boys in the spiritual world, you have the gopis in the spiritual world, the elderly gopis, you have the trees, you have the cows. Why does everybody, why do the cows have to dance with Krishna and Rasa dance? You know what? You know what? What? That's impersonalism. Can you imagine the cows in a circle and Krishna joining hands with their hooves and going around in a circle with the cows? That would be kind of stupid. So, you know, so why does everybody have to be the same? Variety is the mother of enjoyment. Just like you like to eat different varieties of food. And I eat certain food too, but you may not like my food. You may say my food is bland. You may say my food is better to die than eating like me. And I'm thinking your food will kill you. So, I mean, that's different opinions. But I don't go around like, while you're eating prasadam and just say, you're going to die. Too many fatty foods, too much sugar, too much paneer. I'll see you in the funeral home. I don't say that. Yeah, because it just offends people. So I just say, well, you know, you want to kill yourself? That's your problem, not my problem. So, any other questions?
How to do the balancing act when, like for us, like when we visit India, so we have family who are pious, but so you have to explain the kids, like we don't do, the, it means it's like they are seen like my mother, my mother-in-law, so they may be doing, my mother-in-law is Krishna conscious. So
that's nice.
But, so they may do or act in certain ways, so it means I warned them from the very beginning, like when we visit, if I'm not saying anything, don't ask in front, I can explain later, but doing it so that there is no, like...
I think children get away with anything. In certain circumstances, children and old people can say things that nobody else could get away with. So, you know, sometimes it'll actually open it up for discussion if Aniruddha says something. And they go, oh my God. So but you have to, sometimes you have to caution them that these people think like this. You have to be compassionate. And they're, like Krishna says in the Gita, after many, many births and deaths, one becomes Krishna conscious. So they're, just start them on their path of devotional service. So you explain like that. I think you can use the philosophy and explain to someone like Aniruddha how to be kind and compassionate. This person's not ready for it now. And if you push them too much, like if Aniruddha just goes into their kitchen and starts looking at all the boga that's there, you know. Aniruddha goes in the kitchen and says, what's that? Is that an onion? That's Maya. The other day he was sitting with Ranjani, and Ranjani was eating these, you know, whatever it was. And he was saying, that's karmi food. He was sitting in the back of the car, and poor Ranjani was being, like, tortured by Ani food. So basically, we should also teach the golden rule. Golden rule is do unto others as you would have others do unto you. I think that's very important. We have to, in addition to Krishna consciousness, we have to teach about sub-religious principles. You understand? You do unto others as you would have others do unto you. In other words, I would say to Aniruddha, would you like someone to do what you're doing to Ranjani to you?
Yes.
No, he would say no. Would you like someone to tease you and pinch you?
Yes.
Yes, no. Now he wouldn't. So this way we can explain things so people become more, even children can become more compassionate. You've got the golden rule. I mean, it's interesting.
Any other question?
So I think we have to end now because it's almost time for prasadam. So we got a lot of people watching from all over the world, in fact. Wow. We got a lot of people. Oh, one devotee corrected me. He said, Batman is not a superhero. He said, Red Lanterns are villains. So, excuse me for making that big mistake about this. All right. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.